Lillian, I'd like to ask you what your parents' names were.
My father's name was John Horrigan.
Corrigan?
Horrigan.
Corrigan.
H-O-R-R-I-G-A-N.
And your mother?
My mother's name was Anna Gannon.
And then what were your brother's names?
My oldest brother's name was Arthur. The next was my sister, only sister, Pearl. Then I was next, Lillian or Lily. My younger brother was John.
And what was your birth date?
April 1st, 1894.
Last time I asked you about your grandparents and you didn't really remember much about them, I'm wondering if either your father or your mother ever talked about their youth, what it was like growing up for them.
Well, a few incidents, I believe, can remember. Just can't remember too much. Seems like they were all striving to get ahead, as near as I remember. They seemed real happy and, you know, not too much the matter, but nothing glamorous.
Did you know your grandparents?
Yes. I knew both my grandmothers and the grandfathers. And they were quite different.
In what way?
Well, my father's mother and father seemed to be a different type. They seemed to be I'd say old country style. My mother's grandparents were not too much different, only I'd say just a little bit different background.
Did they seem not as old country?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. When I go to their house, each house I go to, I'd have to act different.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, my grandfather's house and grandmother's house, they were very strict. They had their living room and they'd always have it closed up.
Now, and which grandfather?
That's my father's.
Okay.
And they would have it closed off and they would just open it and say, look in here, that's it. And they'd have, I remember they had a great big picture of my uncle, and it was on an easel over in the corner of the room. And they'd say, now don't go near that picture. Now that's a funny thing to remember, but and my grandmother, she was kind of heavy set. She always sat in her chair, and she had, I remember having her very full skirt. She always had a pocket in her skirt. And she always had a few pennies in there. And when we'd come, she'd jingle the pennies and give us a few. And my mother's grandmother and grandfather, they lived in a different section. And when I'd be going to school, I lived quite a ways from school, and they didn't live too far from it. And I'd sometimes go at lunch for lunch there. And I thought it was just the greatest treat, because they had everything that you'd imagine that I liked, I guess.
What was their house like?
Very neat, very modest, but neat.
They both lived in Lamar's during
yes.
this time?
Yes, they did.
You said one lived on a farm and one lived in Canada, but they both moved in?
Mm-hmm. They lived in Lamar's. Uh-huh.
Were you closer to one set of grandparents than the other?
No, I don't believe so. I thought they were just about, you know, just my grandparents. I liked them. They liked me, I guess. But as I remember, they were very strict people.
Lillian, do you remember whether or not your mother ever had miscarriages?
No, I don't think she did. I'm almost sure she didn't.
I'm just wondering how medically that was
Well, she lost one baby after it was born. After my first brother was born, there was another baby born that died at an early age.
What about when you were sick as a child? What kind of medical care was there in Lamar's for you?
Well, we had good medical care. We had good doctors, and if we had sore throat, or that was about it, the measles, chicken pox or something. But aside from that, there wasn't too much sickness.
I didn't ask you how you earned money as a kid, as a child. If you did.
Well, the only money I ever earned as a child, they used to be a little girl that lived to the mayor's daughter, and when she'd go someplace, she'd ask me to come over and stay with her. And it was only a block from my house. I'd go over there, and she'd give me 10 cents and a sandwich. That was about the only thing I can remember. Earning any money yet.
Did you get an allowance or anything at home?
No, no allowance. We'd probably have, maybe we'd have 5 pennies a week. And living near a grocery store, we would go one by one to that grocer and spend the penny and buy a stick of licorice for a penny and then go back an hour later. I bet that grocer was ready to kill us. Now stay here.
when you were married and living in Iowa, you worked as a beautician.
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm wondering...
I also worked before that. I worked in a store, you know, in a dime store, and I also worked as a cashier in a department store.
Now, were you married at all during the time you had those two jobs?
No. No, I wasn't. It was when I was a beautician that I was married.
Did you work during your first marriage?
No.
But you had started working as a beautician before you married the first time?
No, I didn't start the beautician until after I was married the second time.
Mm-hmm. When you were working and married, who took care of the house? Did you have primary responsibility for that, or was that shared?
Well, I'd say we shared, but I think I took care of it pretty well. I know one thing, I decided to make some velvet drapes for it one time that I seen in a great big home in Olive. But I was happy when I was married the second time because he had this little home that he'd had with his mother, see. And then we had it, so I could fix it up like I wanted to.
Did you mind having to do housework?
No, I didn't mind it. I rather enjoyed it.
Did you plan to work after you were married?
Yes, I think I did. I always wanted to work.
I'd like to go on to the war years now.
Mm-hmm.
And you had moved to Southern California from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how you first learned about the possibility of working in a defense plant.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been in Southern California quite a few years, but they were advertising for help, and the war was, you know, all the aircrafts were looking for help, and I thought, well, that'd be interesting to do, you know. So I contacted them. They said, well, all you have to do is go to this college. And I still have the little certificate. On the other side of it. So I learned how to rivet so many hours.
Where exactly were they advertising? What kinds of advertisement was there?
Well, there was in all the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody you talked to was going to work, you know. But having no experience in anything like that, but I got along pretty well. I think I put in 96 hours.
Mm-hmm. On the back of the
house. Oh, yes, uh-huh. I don't know how I kept that all this time.
Now, you said you called them. Who did you call? The aircraft company or an employment agency? Or?
No, I called Douglas Aircraft. And they were taking interviews, so we were interviewed and told what, you know, they were different shifts. Some people could go on the morning shift, afternoon shift, and the late shift. So they generally tried to get people that, you know, was available at certain times.
What made you choose Douglas, Long Beach to call?
Well, that was about the closest aircraft where we were living then.
How did your husband feel about you planning to go to work in defense plans?
He thought it was fine.
And your family, were they out here by then?
Oh, yes,
Did they have any reactions?
No, everybody thought it was okay.
Before you actually started working there, you were just thinking about it, anticipating making plans to work. What did you think it would be like?
Well, I didn't think that I could even get in the plant. I didn't think I would be able to. It sounded so out of line with what I knew how to do. But after going over and all these ladies that were in this school, wherever we went over there, and they had about the same line as I did. They didn't know too much about rivets or hammers or anything. But the first week was rather hard on me to get used to it, but I settled right in. First thing I knew, I was a full-fledged worker, or I thought I was. I don't know how true it was.
Did you have any idea ahead of time, any ideas what the plant would be like?
Hadn't any idea. I couldn't imagine how big it was after I got there. I just thought it would be much smaller. And you could get lost in there. You had to have your own department and know where it was at.
Okay, you said that you went for an interview. Was this before you went to training school?
No, after.
Okay.
See, they wanted people that had some knowledge of riveting, or I think this was a sheet metal place they had, record card.
What was the training school like? It says here that it was at Compton Junior College.
Well, the man would tell us about different things and show us the rivets and what kind of rivets they were and what a rivet gun was and the size rivets and the kinds. I thought there was only one kind of a rivet. In fact, they were round heads and some that had to be pushed down in and well, there was a lot of, and drills. I didn't know about drilling at all.
How large was your class?
Oh, I'd imagine they was about probably 35, approximately.
Were they all women, or?
All women.
Class
was it set up in like a regular class schedule? I believe it was about, can't remember exactly. It seems to me it must have been about from 8 till 12 in the morning.
How did you feel during training? about what you were doing?
Oh, I just felt real good about it. I just felt this is something different in my young life. If I can make it, I'm going to be all right. Yeah.
Were the other women pretty much at your same skill level? And
just about the same. Mm-hmm. Some women were, you know, could learn faster, and others couldn't learn at all. About the first 3 days, they'd drop out. They'd say, this is not for me. But most of them stayed with it.
How much actual riveting and drilling did you do in the class? How much was, like, book learning, and how much was actual, you know, actually doing it?
Well, I think according to that, I put in, what, 96 hours? I'd say maybe three-fourths of the time we were taught for the metal we worked on and the different types of things we used.
When you finished with your training there, did the training school help place you in a job?
No, they didn't. You were free to go, you know, wherever you wanted to, but I wanted to go to Douglas. Mm-hmm. So I think I started in probably a couple weeks later after I was through there.
Where did you have your interview to go to work at Douglas? Where was it held?
Well, I believe I went down to the office at Douglas.
At the plant?
At the plant. Mm-hmm.
And who conducted the interview?
I believe there were two men there. There were two interviewing different ones.
You remember the kinds of questions that they asked you?
No, not exactly. Only if you thought you'd be able to handle a job and if you wanted to continue or just work a short time. And about transportation. So many didn't have transportation. And if you had any children, that they wanted to see that people didn't work and left their children alone. So I said, I have transportation and no children, mom to work.
How long was the interview process?
It was short. Uh-huh. There were so many people in line waiting. It was just... Well, that's 38 years ago. It's kind of hard to remember those things.
I know. Did they give you tests before you went to work?
No.
No.
They just put you in a department. And you had a lead man, you know, and he'd show you what to do and show you what parts to work on. And he'd show you the drills you had to use. You had to use a certain drill for a certain size rivet, and sometimes you'd get too big a drill and make too big a hole, and the rivet would be supposed to be smaller. Then that had to be corrected. And after you got the work done, you'd have to take it to the inspector. They had a lady inspector. If she'd okay it, you could go back and turn it in, start on another one. And if things were wrong, she'd mark it, and you'd have to go back and correct it.
When you went through the interview process, did they give you any information about the job or what your pay would be or if there would be any benefits, those kinds of things?
Yes, they told what the pay would be. I forget now. I had my checks here a short time ago. And different departments paid different. Like in the electric department and different things like that, they paid a little higher than the riveting and the women that were just starting that work.
How long after your initial interview did you start to work?
In about a couple days.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you your job assignment? Did they tell you what department you were going to work in at the interview or when you reported for work?
I believe it was at the interview.
How did you feel when they were getting ready to place you? How did you feel about your competency on the job? What were your expectations around what you could do?
Well, I wasn't too sure I was going to make it. It was such a complete change, you know, to do things like that. But I was interested in it and thought it would be kind of a challenge, you know, and was going to help the war effort anyway. I was willing to do that.
What kinds of preparations did you have to make before the first day of work?
Well, I had to get a complete change of clothing. See, you had to have slacks or pants and low heel shoes, real solid shoes. And I had always worn high heels. Even when I worked in the beauty shop, I wore high heels. So I had to get flat heel shoes and was kind of a pantsuit, and we had to wear bandanas on our head. We had kind of most of them were like a red handkerchief.